Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news, as 82% of you would not give Michael Carrick the job. 82% this morning saying no to Carrick getting the job. We didn't lose last night. Also, Elliot Anderson to Manchester City gets closer. How much of a blow will that be to Manchester United? We've got other transfer updates coming your way as well. Also, grab a pen and paper if you want to be part of the United Stands future. We've got some very exciting thing to announce around that. We've not done it for about 18 months, so get ready for that. Also, some reaction to last night, of course. Referees, Rio Ferdinand coming out saying, under the last manager with a loss last night. I mean, this sort of stuff just doesn't help Carrick, surely. We'll also digest a few other bits as well around a very important international break for Manchester United. I think that with Manchester City moving on Elliot Anderson, other clubs moving on other players, what I want to see over this international break is Man United having definitive talks with transfer targets and managers. We can't just sit back on our arse and go, oh, let's hope this is going to work, because we have to start working. Like, or we're going to fall further behind. I don't actually think the football's been that good over the last few weeks. And I think that there are some definitive things that we can get into there. But fundamentally, the board needs to do more. Whether you are pro-Carrick, anti-Carrick, pro-Bruno, anti-Bruno, whatever your agenda or opinion is, which is fine, the club need to do more. The club definitely need to do more, and this international break's really important. And that's where I want to start off with. Just we'll be moving around a little bit this morning. Look, first and foremost, in relation to the game last night, player ratings went out this morning. I don't know why. They were meant to go out it was a mistake by me. They were meant to go out about 11:30 last night. They went out for 10 minutes, then it went private, then it's gone public at 7 a.m. I don't know. But they're out there now. The bottom line is, half that team in the player ratings voted for by you and me got 6 or below. Half the team got a 5. So it wasn't a good performance. Mbeumo, Ahmad, Casemiro, Maguire, Dalot, Luke Shaw. That's 6 straight away that didn't play very well last night. So ultimately, it wasn't a very good performance again. And we can blame referees. But waking up this morning, it's almost like we're the first club in the history of the Premier League to get done over by referees. It happens every week. It happens. Sometimes it goes in our favour, but it happens every week. I'm not going to wake up this morning. Last night I was very angry. I'm not waking up this morning and going, oh, penalty. It should have been a penalty. I mean, look, we've had a few decisions go our way in the last few weeks. The bottom line is, even if we'd won the game, I don't think we played that well again. And that's the thing that's getting concerning. And I think that's why 82% at the moment wouldn't give it to Carrick. But I think there is a bit of unfairness in relation to that. But I want to start off with this story that awkwardly came out right before we played last night. And ordinarily would have been a huge statement. But because it was like literally half an hour before we kicked off, it sort of got lost in the fact that we had a game. So Fabrizio Romano last night said this: Manchester City are actively pursuing a move for Elliot Anderson and have entered advanced talks with his agent. No agreement has been reached yet, but City have made their strong interest clear to people close to the player. This is massively significant. And we can't just leave it there because we had a game of football. It's really, really significant in relation to Elliot Anderson. Now, remember what I said in the January transfer window. I was told in the January transfer window from a very good source, nothing to do with Man United, that Elliot Anderson, Manchester City, would have signed him in January if Forrest or Anderson had given any inclination that they were willing to do a deal, and they would have paid the money. They'd have done what we did with Bruno. They'd have done what Chelsea did with Enzo. You get the midfielder that you want in January before anyone else can get involved. And Man City went for Gehi, and they went for Semenyo, and they wanted Anderson as well. And they got 2 out of 3. And as Meatloaf said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Sang. So they wanted him in January, and they made it very clear that they wanted him in January. And I said, I remember I said that in the January transfer window on one of these shows, and I said, that's really worrying because basically Elliot Anderson to Man City, it looks absolutely nailed on. United kept circulating, is our top priority, is our top priority, is our top priority, like a fucking parrot. But here we go again, Fabrizio Romano, who's clearly got very good information. United, Man City aren't in talks with Elliot Anderson. They're in advanced talks. And that's very, 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 very relevant here. Talks with an agent, advanced talks with an agent. You know, that's like thinking about asking a girl out on a date and going out on a girl and arranging a date. So they haven't had the date, but talking about asking them and arranging an actual date, that's where Man City are at the moment. They're in advanced talks. Like, they are getting close. And they're speaking to the right person. You go to the player first. You find out whether they're interested. And once you've got their buy-in, it's over. Because then you go to Forrest and go, he wants us. So there's a couple of things I would say about this. One, I actually think it's a positive. I think it's a positive because it forces Manchester United to actually start to do something. We've been talking about this for the last 2 or 3 weeks. As much as the international break is a bit of a pain in the arse in the autumn, the March international break is actually really good because you get lots and lots and lots of conversations going on with agents and players in the March international break ahead of the summer, because a lot of players and a lot of their agents want to know what their options are before June. Because if you think about it, if you're a player or you're a player's agent and you wait till June and then people start talking to you, you want to go on holiday, you want to go to the World Cup, you want to have your conversations in the March international break so that you can speak to your player between March and April and sort of decide what it is you want to do. And with Manchester City having these talks with Elliot Anderson, it means that we either do something or we don't. But that is really significant. Advanced talks, Elliot Anderson, Manchester City. And those advanced talks will be, we want you, this is your package, you'll be part of our team, we want to get this done really early, we want you to go off to the World Cup knowing you're a Man City player, we want you to be at that World Cup knowing that you're coming back to a club that wants to win the league next year, you're fundamental to it, you're going to be really well paid. These are the conversations they'll be having. They won't be going, do you like light blue? So all that, at the moment, could already be in the lap of Elliot Anderson's agent. The fee, everything. It could all be there. Man United need to react to that. So if we don't hear in the next couple of days that we're in advanced talks as well, it's over. And as Kartik says, the deal is basically done. Look, I've never believed that Man United would get Elliot Anderson. I've never believed it. I always felt it was spin from September to today. He's our top priority to make the fan base go, we mean business. It'll backfire if we don't get him because the top priority goes to Man City again. And you know what? When you look at Man City, I see some United fans talking about, can we challenge for the title? Can we get ourselves into a title race? How do we get into a title race when Manchester City signed Semenyo, who we wanted, and we don't go and buy anybody? They go and sign the best available centre-back in the Premier League and we give a 33-year-old a new contract. And we desperately need a midfielder because we haven't got a midfield and they go and get him as well. I mean, how are we competing if we're not going and getting involved in these types of deals? So I see it as a positive that Man City are in advanced talks, breaking news, advanced talks with Elliot Anderson. I see it as a positive because it means Manchester United either sit on their arse and do nothing for the next couple of weeks, or they actually get in the race. And we will find out very, very quickly if we're going to respond or not. Because if we don't, we will lose. If your house is for sale and somebody comes and looks at it and somebody doesn't come and look at it, you're not going to sell it to the people who don't come and look at it, aren't you? So United have got to get into this race now. Or else we're going to miss out. A lot of people in the chat saying, I'd prefer to get Tonali. I like Tonali. I think Tonali does suit Manchester United really, really well. But come on. Like, are we going to play that game? Are we really going to play that game? Are we going to pretend that Tonali is the player that Man United want? Or are we going to be honest and go, Elliot Anderson's the player they want. He's gone to Man City. So now we'll go for second best. Now, second best might be better than Anderson. I'm not saying that he's not, but what you want isn't what Man United want. Man United have thrown it out there that they want Elliot Anderson for about 9 months. And if they don't do that, then, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But also, Tonali is going to cost a lot of money. I mean, Tonali and Bruno Guimaraes will be harder deals than Elliot Anderson because Elliot Anderson is leaving Nottingham Forest. And that's what annoys me as well, is that if we don't get Anderson and we end up going for Tonali or Bruno Guimaraes, they're really good players. But oh my God, it's going to be a bloody nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare because Newcastle feel that they're our rival, rightly or wrongly, and they don't want to sell those players. And they're going to want big money for those players. And there's going to be massive negotiations for those players. Whereas with Elliot Anderson, Nottingham Forest know he's leaving. And they're like, they know what they're going to get. And it'll be a quick... Man City, Elliot Anderson will be quick. Man United, Tonali will take forever as well. And we've got a lot of deals to do. If we're only signing one player, take your time. But I do want us to get some of our business done quick, if I'm being honest. Keel Robinson's ruined it. He says, with Belaba, is it a generational thing? He's not the first youngster to drop off when he doesn't get his way. We know he can do it. I don't know what that means, Keel. I think he's just generationally shit at the moment. I mean, look, I'm doing Brighton-Liverpool at lunchtime. Let's see. And I'm looking forward to that game. Hopefully Brighton can do us a favour with those dropping points last night. You know, that there is an opportunity there for Belaba to do, you know, football's very fickle, isn't it? If Belaba has a good game today and Brighton beat Liverpool, the way the football world works is everyone will say sign Belaba off one game, even though he's been crap all season. So hopefully he can have a good game. But that's how the league table looks at the moment. Liverpool with a win would go 3 points behind us. Villa with a win would go a point behind us. And Chelsea with a win would go 4 points behind us. So we're still in a very good position. And I think that's really important to say. Hi, Mark. Hope you're well. First time back in weeks due to personal issues. Sometimes life knocks you down, but always get back up and keep up fighting, says Rico. Thank you, pal. Hope you're doing very well. Legend of the chat. Thanks for your super chat. Kartik says, Belaba probably won't start. I tell you what, that's a cracking cup of coffee. I was actually a little bit late because it was too hot and I burnt my tongue. But that's just right. That's a good coffee. It is good. It's very good. Okay, let's move on. Right. A few things I want to talk about. There's a couple of more transfer things I do want to come back to. But there is a poll that's been put in the chat this morning. Should Michael Carrick get a 3-year deal? 22% yes, 78% say no. That is TikTok viral. I mean, that's incredible to me. That is absolutely incredible. Should Michael Carrick get the job and a 3-year deal? 22% saying yes, 78% saying no. Tell me why no in the chat and in the comments, because that is a landslide. I expected maybe 50-50. I did not expect 80-20. That is incredible. I'm stunned by that because when you look at the results, okay, I think we've taken 7 from our last 15 or something like that. And I think in our last 4 away games, we've drawn 2, lost 1, won 1. So look, the form has dropped since Arsenal Man City, but the results have still been okay. I think Manchester United Football Club over the next 2 weeks and the next weeks after that have a huge issue. And it's an issue for Carrick if he wants the job. They've got a huge issue because this is not going the way they would have wanted it to go. Like, the results are fantastic, but it's not a landslide. Oh, he's at the wheel. They've sort of got... Some people want to give it to Carrick and some people don't. And that's not ideal for the ownership at all. When you're in charge of a business, you want definitive, if I make this decision, everyone's going to agree with me. And at the moment, they've got this... Well, the results are good, but the performances aren't. He's doing well, but we don't feel he'll do well next season. He's a United legend, but he ain't the best available manager. And I think that's the problem the club have got. A few years ago with Ollie, everyone was cheering them to give him the job. But with Carrick, even with the results, didn't lose last night, people are still going, I'm not too sure about this. And that's a big issue because I don't know that's going to change between now and the end of the season. We will get Champions League football, and I think we're all used to that now. But that's not going to be enough. People are looking at it and going, he's done a good job, but I don't really want him to give him the job. Where am I this morning? Look, I don't think it helps when you get people like Rio, who's clearly a cheerleader for Carrick and the club, saying things like, what was it he said? I don't want to be misquoted on this. So he said, last night, that's the type of game under the previous regime where Man United would have lost. I heard Nicky Butt say something like this about a month ago as well. I mean, that sort of comment, I think he thinks he's helping the bandwagon of getting Carrick the job. He's actually making it harder because it's not actually educated opinion and punditry. It's bias. Because to say that that's the type of game under the previous regime where Man United would have lost, well, hold on a minute. We drew with Bournemouth, with Amorim. I remember Spurs away, where it looked like we were going to lose, and in the last minute, Dalit made it 2-2. So to say that we didn't show solidity under Amorim and that suddenly Carrick has given us... It's bullshit, basically. Last night was nothing special compared to what we saw under Amorim or Ollie or anybody else. Like, Carrick hasn't given us any, you know, mental fortitude or solidity. There was nothing last night that made me go, under the previous manager, we would have lost. In fact, quite the reverse. I mean, we can all play that game, Rio. I remember the Boxing Day game at Old Trafford, which was actually the last Friday night game we played. Newcastle played a lot better than us, and we won 1-0. We showed real defensive fortitude, mentality, and we ground out a 1-0. Carrick went to Newcastle and couldn't beat them with 10 men for 45 minutes. So I could say, under the previous manager, we'd have beat Newcastle. So those sort of comments don't really help the cause. But you would expect that from, you know, somebody who just throws out stuff without thinking. I think the big issue here, and I do feel bad for Carrick, because I felt it was always going to be a problem. Would I give Carrick the job? No. I've always said I'll wait till the end of the season. And I've always been quite consistent because when we win, I say I wouldn't give him the job and people moan. But when we lose or play badly or draw, I don't say I wouldn't give him the job. I say, this is my issue. We need to interview other candidates. We need to have a best-in-class recruitment process. United need to go out there and be interviewing decent managers like Nagelsmann and Enrique. And, you know, they don't need to be interviewing people like Southgate and Glasner. So for me, I'm not going to sit here and say Carrick shouldn't get the job under any circumstances, because what if Wilcox and Sir Jim Ratcliffe completely fuck this up and end up with a choice between Carrick, De Zerbi and Nagelsmann and Glasner? In which case, I'd probably go for Carrick. So I'm not going to sit here and say don't give Carrick the job. I just think there's better options out there that we should be interviewing and we should have an open process. Personally, my issue with Carrick is this. One, for somebody who is a legend, in my opinion, and one of the most intelligent midfielders of the Premier League era, I'm really disappointed at how bad our midfield is. I actually expected Casemiro and Mainoo by now to be playing with more composure than they actually do. It's still a little bit like the Wild West. It's like, get the ball, misplace a pass, be out of position. We don't control the midfield. And that disappoints me from a coaching point of view, because if Michael Carrick is really hands-on, I would have thought that the ability he had as a player, we would have seen that in the midfield. So I'm, on a personal note, I'm a little bit disappointed by how poor our midfield is, because I actually said this in January when Carrick came in. I think we'll get control of the midfield now, which we didn't have it under Amorim. I'll put my hands up, you know, we didn't. And remember, I said about Amorim after the Leeds game, I'd give him till the end of the season, but he's probably going to need to get replaced. So I'm a little bit disappointed in Carrick that he's a brilliant, brilliant midfielder and we haven't got hold of that midfield. And that, look, that is evidenced as well, because this might be something that nobody's talking about, but when you look at United's last five games possession, right? Considering Liverpool in their last five games are averaging 58% possession and they're not playing very well. So Liverpool are averaging 58% possession and they're not playing very well. This is United's possession in the last five games. Last night against Bournemouth, we only had 45% possession. Against Villa at home, 52% possession. Against Newcastle away, who played with 10 men, 52% possession. Palace, we had 61% possession, but remember they had a man sent off after half an hour. And then Everton away, 52% possession again. So our possession's really crap. And it was under Amrim as well, admittedly. Transitional football, moments football, counter-attacking football. That worries me. That's something that's evidential. Like, we do not get hold of the ball. We can't keep the ball. I think last night we had a pass accuracy of less than 80%. So my issue is that we are getting results, but the performance reminds me of England under Southgate. And there's a direct correlation as to why that is. Steve Holland. I do not think he is good enough to be a Man United coach next season. So even if Carrick gets the job, he needs to go and get a better assistant coach, because I don't think Steve Holland is good enough stylistically for Manchester United. I know he did well at England and I know he's been at Chelsea, but that style of football, it's dull. It's really dull. It's counter-attacking, it's boring, and I think that's a problem for Carrick at the moment. I don't think you can blame Carrick for the results. Well, you can't. And I don't think you can blame Carrick for the players, because he hasn't had a transfer window. But the style of play for me is it's problematic, and it's starting to as I said, 77% of people saying that they wouldn't give Carrick the job is a very, very, very high number, and it's too high. For me, it should be 50-50. Would you give it him or wouldn't you? It's nowhere near 50-50, and I think it's because, and it's a big problem for the club, a lot of fans are now going, well, yeah, we drew. Yeah, we should have had a penalty, but we didn't play very well. Against Villa, yeah, we won, but it's Casemiro from a Bruno corner. You know, what are we actually doing? We're not playing well. Newcastle, we play against 10 men for 45 minutes. We don't play well. Everton away, it's a great break for Sesko, but we didn't play well. And this is starting to happen now. You know, we're just not... It's not capturing the imagination, even though we're getting the results. And I think if I was Carrick over this international break, I'd be like going, if I want this job, it's not going to happen just on results in Champions League football. I've got to actually show them something that's not Southgate's England. I've got to go out and play like I did in the Arsenal-Man City game. Because if he can do that against Leeds and Chelsea and Liverpool that we've got coming up, he's got a chance. But he's got to show us the performance and the vision, because you can see it in the fan base at the moment. People are like, we've seen all this before. We've seen this. We've seen the results, and we haven't. But where's the performance? So I think that's a bit of a problem at the moment. Hi, Mark. Anderson to City is one concern, but Tonali or Bruno Guimaraes is going to be extremely difficult. Newcastle won't sell both, and there will be huge competition in the Premier League and across Europe for those players. Please not belabour, says Andy Atherton. Thank you very much for that, Andy. Hope you're doing very, very well.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, Sam, I wonder what you're on about here. I thought you put it in the wrong chat. He says, we've just rolled back to a previous firmware that worked but was unremarkable and didn't have the latest modern features in tech speak. I do like that. I do like that. It's a very good analogy. Emily Derry's in the house. Hope you're doing well. Scars from Ollie run deeper in the fan base than the club realise, and the board and some ex-players aren't good at reading the room or learning from mistakes. Look, it's never going to help when you've got someone like Rio and others who are very vocally backing their mate, and I get that, but it's cheerleading. It's not actually thinking. It's not looking at the last 10 years, the next 10 years, the style of play. It's locking in on the fact that your mate is getting good results and you want your mate to get the job. And I understand that. I respect that. But we are entitled to our opinions. You know, when we go to sleep at night, we've got to, you know, ideally every day you go to sleep at night going, did I do my best? Was I honest and true to myself? And if you do that, that's absolutely fine. And that works for everybody. And I don't like the coaches that he's got. Not personally. You can see the problem. Jonathan Woodgate, Johnny Evans, they're not experienced people. Steve Holland, I saw what he did for England. That's before you get to Carrick. Like, Carrick is obviously inexperienced, but the coaches he's got around him, this is not best in class. This is chuck people together and see what happens. And they've done well in a results point of view. But you're not saying to people, should we give Carrick the job on a game-by-game basis? You're asking, this is a really important point as well. Based on the interim, incredible, brilliant, fantastic. Might win manager of the month for February or March, don't know what they're doing. But the point is, from an interim point of view, fantastic, super, incredible, right? But you're asking us to commit to this guy for 3 years. That's the problem. Let's not skirt around the issue. The results are fantastic. He's done a good job. But commit to this for 3 years? To me, you're jumping into a lake. There's something moving. You know, hopefully it's a beautiful mermaid. It could be a bloody crocodile, you know? And I'm not jumping in that lake. I'm not. There's too many uncertainties at the moment. What is Rio on about? Under Amrim, it was 4-4, says Marlowe. The surprising thing is that we didn't manage to control a lead any better with a different formation. I tell you what, that's crept back in as well. I think that's a great observation, Marlowe. When I look at the game last night, we're obviously moaning because we needed the referee to help us out and give us the penalty. But beyond that, it was a poor performance. But what has crept back in is the inability to hold on to a lead again. You look at the Villa game, 1-0 up, it went to 1-1. You look at last night, 1-0 up, 1-1, 2-1 up, 2-2. This was an Amrim problem. Now, is it a player problem? Have they started to... We've seen the intensity drop from the Arsenal-Man City games. Are we now starting to see the attention drop? Because we weren't doing this a few weeks ago. But then again, you look at Fulham. Fulham came back as well, didn't they? Newcastle. No, we didn't score against Newcastle. So I felt like we checked out a little bit last night. As CR7 the GOAT says, I felt like we did. And the long throw-ins have come back as well, Jacob. And I agree with King Walker. I think also last night, I said it on the match reaction, we looked a bit tired, which is weird. What concerns me as well is how does the next few weeks impact us in relation to the World Cup? We've had a lot of players that have been working to get into the World Cup. Mainoo, Casemiro, Luke Shaw, Maguire. How many of these players, after this international break, start thinking World Cup? And it might happen at other clubs as well. But how many players are going to think this World Cup's absolutely huge? We're not in the Champions League. We're not in a title race. We're not getting relegated. I think every one of those players last night didn't perform. Maguire, Luke Shaw, Casemiro. Are we going to get that intensity back in the next few weeks? And as Yugant says, every time we play twice a week, we struggle. Let me just catch up on some of these super chats before we move on. Emily Derry says, the fact of the matter is we're going to have to fork out a significant amount on our midfield, so we better make sure that we get what we get is worth the fee. I worry that Wilcox deems what Wilcox deems is our second chance choice. Yeah, it could be Belaver, exactly. Sam Brock says, City still have the lure of Pep. United had Sir Alex and the history, but for Sir Alex, we had the big wages as well. With the new wage structure and B-list manager, we are relying on history and promises. I mean, look, we're not going to run a poll on it, but if you were Elliot Anderson, would you sign for Man United or would you sign for Man City? With my Man United heart, I would say sign for Man United. But logically, Man City is the right move. It is. You look at the last 10 years, it's the right move. You look at the next 10 years, it's the right move. I know Pep Guardiola might leave, but Man City aren't going to go and appoint Gareth Southgate. They'll go and get Luis Enrique or Kompany or Maresca or someone like that. So I think that United are too much spin and bluster. They hype up results and they hide when we have bad performances. And we need strong leadership. I've always said this about Man United. When we win, Everybody's on the training ground smiling. All the clips go out. Wilcox does an interview. Berardi does an interview. When we lose, everyone fucking hides. I'd rather it was the other way around. I'd rather when we win, we're quiet. And when we lose, we're making noise about being better. But United's just a PR machine, isn't it? You think about it. Every time we win, you can't move for interviews and noise. Every time we lose, it's silence. And that's why we fail. That's why we failed for 13 years, because we're a PR machine. We sell on positivity and we hide on negativity. Whereas failing companies or sports clubs or whatever, they're noisy when they're not doing well, because that's the message. You know, this is not acceptable. But United hide when they don't do very well. What a coffee. We can't keep hiding behind results. The performances have been poor, says the Rosinator. Now reflecting that, Carrick just isn't the right guy. I don't even think Carrick's not the right guy. I just think he's got the wrong coaches. I just don't think that. In hindsight, I think Arsenal and Man City, we caught a Man City side that had no defence and it was a new manager bounce. And against Arsenal, it was a good performance, but it was very counter-attacking. And we scored a couple of worldies, Dorgu and Cunha. They wouldn't do that again. And I think we did play well against Arsenal and Man City, but Man City's back four was like, their reserves. And we scored two worldies against Arsenal. So, and also I think there was a bit of enthusiasm there. The last few weeks, we haven't been like that. And you know, that's what proper coaching is. And also, I read something last night, and it's very, very true. In the praise of Carrick's results, which is totally and utterly justified, when Palace got a man sent off after half an hour, and we played for an hour against 10 men, and when Spurs did the same, people were saying, give Carrick the job. There was no context of we played against 10 men. When Sesko got a late equaliser with a worldie against West Ham and we didn't lose, it was a great result. There was no talk about luck. We've had a lot of luck, is what I'm trying to say. And in reality, you better get used to what happened last night, because as much as it's a terrible refereeing decision, we've had a lot of luck already. We had a lot of bad luck last night, but we've already had a lot of luck. You can't have it both ways. Welcome to the world of management. Like, ultimately, if you're relying on luck, luck will help you and hurt you. But if you've got performance and vision, you will ride over luck. And I feel at the moment, we've had a bit of luck with red cards. I mean, bloody hell, we've had, what was it? Palace, Spurs, Newcastle. We've had three red cards in the last few games, when you think about it. Now, obviously, I think all of them were red cards, maybe not Ramsey, but how often does that happen? How many penalties have we won recently? So we've had a little bit of luck, and last night that luck ran out. But I'm a firm believer that luck isn't the way. Like, luck is not the way. Like, relying on referees is not the way, especially in this league. You've got to be able to deliver performance so that that dilutes luck. You don't need luck. And I think we didn't win last night because we didn't get a penalty. That's a fact. But is that enough? Are you telling me now that we're reliant on the PGMOL being competent to win games of football? We should be reliant on them, but we should also be good enough to win that game without it. We went in 0-0 at half time and we were dominant, so I just think that what we're getting, and the reason why people aren't convinced about Carrick at the moment, is because what we're getting is what we needed. We know we can get results, but are we getting performance, and what's going to happen next season? And I think we're starting to think, well, I don't see how this is going to work next season. Playing twice a week like this, how's this going to work? Is it the A star that we need? And also as well, just talking about transfers, I don't know what your thoughts are on... well, let's do a poll on this, actually, because I think a poll is always the way to go. Should Maguire have got a new contract? Yes or no? Just while you're answering that, because I always like to leave it a couple of minutes. We have always done this on the United Stand. I'm very proud of the United Stand community. It's your community. We've always done this. When you think about Levin and Beth and, you know, everybody that's been on the channel, in fact, there's only one or two that we didn't do it this way. They've always been given an opportunity, whether it's in front of camera or sending a clip in. Last couple of years has been quite difficult for us to do that, but we're bringing it back. So that's footballmedia@gmail.com is the email. What we want is a 1 minute clip, video clip, no longer. Don't go and send five in and think, oh, I'll impress. We will get a lot. So a 1 minute clip of something you're passionate about in relation to Man United. It could be a transfer that you want, a manager that you want, why you want to give it to Carrick, why you think Maguire getting a contract is brilliant, why you think Luke Shaw is brilliant, right? A 1 minute clip, send it into that's footballmedia@gmail.com. And what we're looking for is the next round of talent. We've not done it for ages, and we're sacking Beth. No, we're not. We're not sacking Beth. We're sacking Ricky. No, we're not sacking Ricky. The point is, we're looking for talent in front of the camera, and it would be great to find some. Look, ideally, we want you in the studio, and the studio's in Manchester. So if you live in and around Manchester, great. It's going to be a hell of a commute if you live in Africa or the United States, but. So ideally, the first wave, we're looking for UK. In the summer, we're going to do something international. Send your clips in and let's see what we can get, because we've always been about that talent. Looking forward to it. People are now saying you should sack Ricky. Look, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I love watching the fan forum because I like to see what everyone else has got to say. Right, on Harry Maguire, 61% of you, 62% of you are saying Maguire should not have got a new contract. Now, look, the great thing here is, please do smash a like on the video, by the way. We're trying to get 1,000 likes this morning, and please do share it. The interesting thing is that last night at about 4 o'clock, we dropped a video in response to Ornstein saying that Maynou and Maguire were going to get a new contract. Before the game, I said this. I could cut to the clip. I don't need to. We'll stay live. I said, my problem with Harry Maguire getting a new contract is this. In a back four, he lacks pace. And if he gets one-on-one, he's not going to find the pace and he'll get exploited. My second problem is that have they done this because it's cheap? Man City, De Bruyne are gone. Kyle Walker gone. David Silva gone. They were all performing better than Maguire is now, but they got rid of them because they felt it was time to change. Man United keep Harry Maguire. Obviously, in hindsight of the game, that looks like genius now. I said it before the game, and if Maguire had scored the winner, I would have said it this morning anyway. Those two issues are still issues. One, why are we keeping 33-year-olds who are on the decline? Are we doing it to save money? And two, in a back four, how's this going to work next season or the rest of this season if people keep doing whatever Nilsson did and exploit him? And look, Iriola made a great point after the game yesterday. He said, I don't think it was a penalty on Ahmad. I think he went down too soft. In the first half, Evan Nilsson's ahead of Maguire. He gives him a little shove. It's too soft for a penalty, but that's a foul as well. So where do you draw the line? Look, he's Bournemouth manager. But the point is, there are three occasions in the game last night where Maguire loses Evan Nilsson because he's not quick enough. It's a little bit strange to me that we've kept Maguire just because he's experienced. Because I think that actually takes the piss out of Maguire. At what point has Maguire's experience been the thing? Maguire never sits on the bench. Every time he gets written off, he finds a way. He's not been in the England team all season. He's going to the World Cup. There's numerous seasons at United where Maguire won't play anymore. 3 months later, he's starting for United. So this nonsense that we're keeping him to sit on the bench as an experienced player. Maguire's not that. He could have gone to Italy and played centre-back for Napoli next year. He could have gone and played for Everton. He's staying at Man United. And people are going, well, I don't mind it. I don't mind Maguire staying because, you know, he's an experienced head to have around. He will not sit on the bench. That's not who Harry Maguire is. I admire him for it. He won't sit on the bench. He will want to play. And him playing in a back four at 33 and a half is worrying. If Maguire, you know what? If Amrin was still here and we were playing three at the back, keeping Maguire makes more sense. But in a back four, at his age, I think it's going to make us play deep, which we don't want to do, or he's going to get exploited, which we don't want to happen. So I think this deal's weird. Look, if it's Johnny Evans and he's going to play a bit part, I get it. But Maguire's never been a bit part player. Maguire will not sit on the bench next season. He will not allow that to happen. It's not about who he is. So if we're actually saying let's start Harry Maguire next season as a centre back, I'm worried about that. So I think we should have let him go. I think we should have let him go and let him go and play first team football elsewhere. Which leads me to the fear that we've done this to save money, because giving Harry Maguire, well, actually we save money. Harry Maguire's on 190 grand a week. If we're giving him 120 grand a week, we save 70 grand a week, which is a couple, you know, 3 million a year. We actually end up saving 3 million a year to keep Harry Maguire rather than spending 50 million to replace him. Oh, hello. I think I've just figured that one out. So, yeah. Can you imagine first game next season, Maguire, Shaw and Carrick managers as does it? Well, you know, you joke, but Luke Shaw ain't going anywhere. Maguire's here now. Delo's not going anywhere. I mean, that could be three of our back four next season. Slow Sports News with a super chat. Hope you're doing well. He says, draw feels like a loss. PGMOL has an agenda. 10 men is our Achilles heel. And bottom table teams is our kryptonite. Promises from United is a dying flame. So Slow Sports News. Look, I'm not. Look, you know what? Like it or not, Bournemouth are unbeaten for quite a long time. Like it or not, we can't be reliant on the PGMOL. You know what that is? That's the sound of the smallest violin this morning. I can see United fans still going on social media moaning about it, and nobody's interested other than United fans. Like there aren't Newcastle fans or Everton fans or the press going, oh my God, Man United have been victim of the biggest travesty in world football. Like, they're not. They're going, welcome to the party, pal. You know, this has been going on for ages. In fact, your penalty on Ahmad isn't that big a deal compared to some of the decisions they get wrong. It's still a penalty, but it's not even in the top 10 this season, bad mistakes by PGMOL. So we sort of need to move on from it, because that's a bigger issue. That's the Premier League, you know. So I'm not that bothered about the result, because ultimately I look at the league table, and as I said to you before, we can win one, lose one, and we'll still get Champions League football. We've got what we got. We've got 7 games left now. So 4 wins takes us to 67 points. That'll be enough. We could lose 3 and win 4 and we'll still get Champions League football. In fact, I would argue we could lose 4 and win 3 and still get Champions League football. I reckon if we get 63 points, we've done it. I don't see fifth place getting 63. So we'll be fine in relation to that. The conversation now is not whether we get Champions League football. The conversation now is, when are they going to start interviewing managers? I want to see, over this March international break, news that we're interviewing managers and news that we're moving for players. Because if we come out of this 2 weeks doing nothing, It's scary. Alamir says, it's obvious Premier League were pushing for a draw or a loss. Championship is decided. Relegated teams are decided. Come on, mate. Let's not go there. No, I'm not having that. Like, if it was a one-off, you might be onto something. But I'm watching Brighton-Liverpool on That's Football. I'm watching Chelsea-Everton on That's Football. I'm watching Spurs-Forest tomorrow on That's Football. And I'm watching the Carabao Cup final on That's Football. I guarantee you, in those games, we'll get 4 or 5 decisions like the Ahmad one, where we go, that's a joke. It happens in every game all the time. The refereeing is just shit in this country. United must replace Shaw and Maguire. They're so off, says Dial. United made an inept decision with Ollie. His results pre-contract were better than Carrick's. We shouldn't sign him. There is a reason to big club wants him, says Tab. I've never even thought about that. What was Ollie's results performance in the first 8 games compared to Carrick then? Because that's actually quite a sobering thought. I know he won his first 8 games, but how many points did he get Premier League wise from his first? I don't know, how many games has Carrick's done? Man City, Arsenal, Fulham, Spurs, West Ham, Everton, Newcastle, Villa, Bournemouth. He's had 9, hasn't he? So he's had 9 Premier League games. I don't know what Ollie did in his first 9, but he's had 9. We've lost 1 and we've drawn 2. And he's won 7. So he's got 21 points, 24 points. 24 points from 30? That can't be right. He can't have 24 points from 27. Ah, fucked that up. He's won 7, he's drawn 2, and he's lost 1. So that's 27... 23 from 27. That don't make right. That can't be right. He's dropped 7 points, hasn't he? So he must be on 20. I don't know. I've messed up that. Crap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ollie had 7 wins and a draw from his first 8. So, yeah, I mean, Solskjaer did bad. He's got 23 from 30. There we go. We've played 10 games. Thank you very much. That makes more sense. I didn't like that when he got into their half while attacking, we passed the ball backwards. It's really frustrating, says Nick. You know what? Last night, here's one for you. I thought last night we played like Amrim. I felt like we played a little bit like Amrim last night in the sense that the long throw-ins came back. The reluctance to put a cross into the box continued. And we couldn't hold on to a lead. A lot of any manager's success will come down to the transfers this summer, says John. I've said this. I think this is comment of the morning. Whatever you think about the manager, whatever you think about transfers, whatever you think about players, whatever you think about the board, wherever we finish in the league, second, fifth, wherever, I don't think at the end of May, when this season ends, I will take anything from this season at all. I don't. We started it with a project that's not here anymore. We've had an interim where we don't really know what the future is. The only thing I will take from this season is Champions League football, and then I'll slam the door on it. I just think this season's been another write-off, and shame on Ineos and shame on Wilcox and Berardi, because I think this season offers nothing going into next year. I think next season is all about June to August and what we do in the window and what we do with the manager. I don't think there's anything from this season we can take other than Champions League football. Whatever we do in the next few weeks, not good enough. Sesko's not even playing up front at the moment. So I feel like in the next few weeks, he needs to start picking Sesko. And I don't know why he's not picking Sesko, but he needs to start picking Sesko because next season, we need a focal point and we need a striker. And at the moment, it feels like we're just whacking square pegs into round holes and hoping it'll work. And there's not a lot of vision in what we're doing at the moment. And I respect Carrick and his coaching staff for that. Look, they're just getting results. There is no long-term plan and they shouldn't have one. Their job is to get Man United into the Champions League. It's not to give Cher Lacey a game. It's not to give Aiden Heaven a game. It's not to pick Sesko up front. Their job is to get results in the best way they feel fit. But you abandon vision and performance in doing that sometimes. If Ineos are serious owners, they go get top manager, says Dazzo. Do you reckon Carrick will get a warning for what he said? Also, that was disgusting yesterday. How did they get away with it? Bruno must stay, says Brit Ace official. Michael Carrick shouldn't get a fine or anything like that. T-Wolf, thanks very much for your super chat. So basically, Michael Carrick just came out and said it should have been a penalty. Which I don't think is a problem. Andy Atherton says, Yeah, I did that one from Andy. Done that from Sam. What positions do you think we need to improve on, and who do we need to sign, says Twitch. Look, I tell you what, I'm absolutely so fed up of every single game, bar Arsenal and Man City, saying our fullbacks are crap. And it's not about, like, it's not personal. It's not that I don't think they're trying. It's a quality thing. Like, our fullbacks, every game, end up inferior to the opposition. Even though Cunha played well yesterday and Jimenez conceded a penalty, he still played better than Delo. And Truffert was 10 times better than Shaw. And we saw this against Newcastle. We saw it against West Ham with Wan-Bissaka and Diouf. It's... apparently there's a problem with YouTube, so refresh. Refresh if you've got a problem. I don't know what's going on with YouTube. But this is a huge issue for Manchester United. The midfield is staring us in the face. It's so blatant. But you know what? It's not even... like, it's quality. The quality of our fullbacks is so bad. And I've got into the habit now that instead of just going, oh God, Delo or Luke Shaw or whatever, I just look at the opposition and I go, they've got fullbacks who are dealing with their winger and occupying their opposite fullback. They're back and forth. I mean, Truffert was brilliant yesterday and I thought Jimenez did okay, even though Cunha was our man of the match. Our fullbacks, you almost need to... here's a little tip for you. Next time Man United play, and for the rest of the season, just remember, look at the Oppo fullback and compare them to ours. And that's the quiz. Don't focus on the lack of crosses from Luke Shaw or the misplaced passes from Delo. Just look at the opposing fullback and look at what they do. And I guarantee you, there'll be a winger, there'll be a defender. There'll be a winger, there'll be a defender. It's back and forth. And... our fullbacks are really disappointing, and it's such a fundamental part of the modern game, and they're just lacking in quality. I think Delo's a fantastic lad. I really do. I've heard so much about him over the years. I think he works hard. I think he's dedicated. I think he loves football. I think he loves the club. I think he's got, you know, a great... you listen to him in interviews. It's harsh sometimes because you have to be harsh, and it's not personal, but they will take it personally. Everything about Delo, you just wish he was good enough. Because he's got everything else. Everything else. But quality, no. Luke Shaw used to have it. 3 years ago, I think he was one of the best left-backs in Europe. He ain't got it anymore. And that's our full-backs. And I'm telling you now, obviously, if you've got Mendes and Hakimi, we'd probably challenge for the title. That's how important they are. But if you had Livramento and Hall, we'd probably still be up there with Man City. It's like the midfield needs sorting, but if we sorted our midfield and our fullbacks, we'd probably compete for the title. We probably would. Because you've got Bruno, you've got a midfield, you've got two good fullbacks. Yes, there's weaknesses in the team, but two good fullbacks, a midfield and Bruno Fernandes, and you're going to go right up the league. And people say, well, you wouldn't win the league because of this, this and this. We'd still have problems, you know, is the centre-back pairing good enough? Who's playing up front? But when you've got Bruno Fernandes doing what he's doing, you've got a competent midfield and you've got two really good fullbacks. We haven't got fullbacks at the moment and we haven't got a midfield. And we're still third. So, look, we are third as well because we're playing one game a week. If we were playing two games a week, we'd be struggling like Chelsea and Liverpool and Villa. You know, we're not hitting the injuries and fatigue that they're hitting. But the fullbacks are so important. So important. Mark, United need Rashford back, says Kyle. We'll move on from that. Keel says, YouTube went nuts. I logged out and in, all good. Yeah, it's playing up a little bit today. I don't know what his problem is. What? Very, very good question from Twitch as well. Kyle says, Mark, did you hear them on TalkSport saying Steve Holland is the reason United are playing well? Their joke. I mean, look, honestly, mate. It's not just that radio station. In general, you know, look at what Tim Sherwood was saying about Sesko. there's look at what Rio Ferdinand said last night about we'd have lost this game under Amorim. It's just idiocy for hire, isn't it? And I'm as bad at times, but it's it's not true. The great thing about you and the great thing about football fans is that we watch every game. We give our time up. Many of you are here on the countdown to kick off, the match reactions. We spend a lot of time, more than these people do. They turn up, they put a pair of headphones on, they haven't done their research. What do you think about Man United? Ooh, let's talk about Steve Holland. It's uneducated, it's bullshit. Steve Holland does deserve respect in relation to the fact that we're winning and we're getting performances. But at Manchester United, like Bayern Munich, like Real Madrid, it is not just about winning games. Liverpool as well. It is not just about winning games. You do get people in our fan base who think it is, and they'll go, of course it's just about winning games. No. Do your homework. At certain football clubs, you have to win, and you have to do it in a certain way. And if you don't like that, that's fine, but it's called standards. Manchester United didn't win multiple European Cups, league titles, by set pieces and long throw-ins. We did it through risk-taking, exciting wing-play football. And if we're going to turn our back on that, then maybe that's the way it's going to go. But some of us won't turn our back on that. It is about winning. It's also about doing it in the right way. And at the moment, I think if I had a pound for every time I've read or said, ever since Arsenal, Man City, we've been dropping off. But it's true. Ever since Arsenal and Man City, we have dropped off gradually. The intensity. Is it because of the lack of training? I don't know. Is it because of the coaching? Probably. Is it because the players are getting bored and, you know, they're light switch players? Possibly. But we're not playing good football. Read this back again. Bournemouth, 45% possession. Villa, 52% possession. Newcastle, 52% possession. Everton, 52% possession. We're not a possession-based team. We're Manchester United and we're playing counter-attacking football with a solid defence and a deep line. Playing a deep line, counter-attacking football. I've just tuned in, but I've watched a youth player, Jim Thwaites, and he looked really good. Any word of him breaking into the squad, says United? Hopefully, he will be part of the pre-season with a few others. Hopefully that will be the case. Right, I've pinned in the live chat the player rating show, because it was meant to go out last night. It went out at 10 o'clock, at 7 o'clock this morning. Do check out player ratings from last night, because some of the player ratings are wild and it gives you a bit more clarity on the fact that, yeah, there was a refereeing error, but half our team played shit. My new gimmick is Belieber. I'm all in, says Keel. Well, hopefully he will start. I'm live on That's Football in just over an hour. 61% of you said you wouldn't have given Maguire a new contract. 39% of you would. And don't forget, if you are tuning in late, 82% said they would not give Michael Carrick the job on our poll this morning, which I think is incredible. I expected 50-50. So there we go. Apologies for the problems with YouTube this morning. I don't know why it's been doing that. We are back with an 8 o'clock show tonight, Saturday Night Live, but we are also on That's Football. Two games that impact us today, actually. Chelsea go to Everton and Liverpool go to Brighton. We could do with neither of those teams winning, really, today. Villa play West Ham tomorrow. So hopefully none of those teams win and it ends up being a good weekend for us. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Take care, everybody, and I'll speak to you soon. Thank you very much.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.